Today is the 10th Sunday after Pentecost, and we have a number of announcements. There will be blessing of articles after Mass today at the communion rail. There will be no benediction this evening. This Tuesday is the greatest feast day of the Blessed Virgin Mary, the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary. And there will be a solemn Mass at 9 a.m. and a low Mass at 7 p.m. for those who cannot attend the morning Mass. Now, it is a holy day of obligation, so as we all know, it is a serious obligation for a Catholic to assist at that Mass on that day, if possible. So again, this Tuesday, Feast of the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary, solemn Mass at 9 a.m., and low Mass at 7 p.m. The 2018 liturgical calendars are available in the vestibule for a $10 donation, and you can place your donation in the tray on the lower shelf in the vestibule there on that bookcase. Now, maybe once or twice a year we have to announce this, but we're running out of space in the cabinet in the classroom. It's a very mundane thing, but there are lots of utensils and dishes and all sorts of things in there. I used to take it all out and set it up for everyone. I can't do that anymore. So all you have to do is, if you have something that you need to retrieve, make a mental note. Don't forget, when you walk out, just go in there and pick up your items. I think one of the priests, it might have been Father Ward, mentioned maybe a year ago about receiving Holy Communion, and that is the parents. So I know that we have... It's not your fault, I'm sure you're all sincere about this, but what happens is you have an infant, mothers and fathers, you have an infant, and you're carrying up the baby in your arms, and you receive Holy Communion, and the priest blesses the infant, your child. Well, they grow up, okay? So now they're walking with you, and there's so many, we have to correct the abuse, if we want to call it that. Because children who are able to walk, they're supposed to only come up to the communion rail during Mass when they make their first Holy Communion, because that's the special day. That's the way it always was in the old days. I remember that. I never went up to the communion rail. It was the first time I went up as first Holy Communion. So, parents, mothers and fathers, do not bring up children your children that are walking or can't be carried, only infants that you hold in your arms. So you have to have your spouse or another person here to watch your children in the church or in the classroom, which we use as a cry room on Sunday, to watch your children. So only those who, infants that you can carry. Now the reason, of course, is because there's a practical side. We've had small children that look like they're kneeling, and they're standing on the kneeler, and the priest is about to give them Holy Communion because they're imitating their parents, and they're opening their mouth, and the priest is going along, so you see the problem there. And it also makes it longer because we have to do all these blessings. We are happy to bless the children. If you want to bring them after Mass, that's fine, we can do that. So we all understand how that works, so... Now, we have two very important announcements, but I'm not going to tell them to you until after the sermon, because then you'll be interested and stay awake for the sermon, looking forward to those announcements, and they are very important. So, here we go. Now, we are going to read the Epistle and Gospel in English, as we always do. And I want you to pay close attention. And as a reminder, I'm sure you use your missals. You're supposed to bring your missals, as you know, we remind you about that. But when the priest is reading the Epistle and Gospel, do not read your missal. You're supposed to be listening. That's the time to listen to the priest. I want you to pay close attention, because we will only be able to speak a couple moments on a few points of these two readings. So listen carefully. The epistle for this Mass is taken from St. Paul's first epistle to the Corinthians. Brethren, you know that when you were Gentiles, you went to dumb idols according as you were led. Wherefore, I give you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God says anathema to Jesus. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of workings, but the same God who works all things in all. Now the manifestation of the Spirit is given to everyone for profit. To one through the Spirit is given the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge, according to the same Spirit. To another faith in the same Spirit. To another the gift of healing in the one Spirit. To another the working of miracles. To another prophecy. To another the distinguishing of spirits. To another, various kinds of tongues. To another, interpretation of tongues. But all these things are the work of one and the same Spirit, who allots to everyone according as he will. Please stand for the Gospel. The Holy Gospel for this Mass is taken from the account according to St. Luke, chapter 18, verses 9 to 14. At that time, Jesus spoke this parable also to some who trusted in themselves as being just and despised others. Two men went up to the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and began to pray thus within himself, O God, I thank thee that I am not like the rest of men, robbers, dishonest, adulterers, or even like this publican. I fast twice a week. I pay tithes of all that I possess. But the publican, standing afar off, would not so much as lift up his eyes to heaven, but kept striking his breast, saying, O God, be merciful to me, the sinner. I tell you, this man went back to his home justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself shall be humbled, and he who humbles himself shall be exalted. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. This could be called a Sunday of humility because of both the message of St. Paul in the epistle, which he wrote this letter to the Corinthians. These people in the city of Corinth in Greece were needed to be reminded about relying on the Holy Spirit, not in themselves. There have been countless spiritual works, writings of saints, church fathers, many sermons about the necessity of realizing what we really are. That we're just a little above nothing. As St. Paul says, we're vessels of clay. And he used that image because, first of all, Adam, and this is not just a fable or a story, it's a fact. Adam, the first man, was created by God from the earth, from the slime of the earth, as it says in the book of Genesis. So we came literally from the earth. God took matter and created man's body from that, and then infused a soul, a beautiful soul, into the body of Adam. Well, when St. Paul says we're vessels of clay, that clay comes from the earth, but they of pottery, especially in those days, was very easily broken. And St. Paul's reminding us how weak we are and how much we must remember every day to rely on the power of the Holy Spirit to keep us going. Now, when we are in the state of grace, and you know this, but just to remind all of you, everything we do gains merit, a higher reward in heaven, when we are in the state of grace, when we have the Holy Trinity dwelling in our souls. And when a person has the misfortune of committing a mortal sin, it's all lost. However, faith and hope can still be there unless the person sinned against those virtues, and they can still crawl back, dig themselves out of the pit, and come back to the grace of God. So all our gifts, both spiritual and material, come from the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit inspires us moment to moment. In fact, we can't get to heaven without the work of the Holy Spirit. Because, as you know, the Holy Spirit proceeds from the Father and the Son. The Holy Spirit moves us to do good and avoid evil, just like he moved our Lord. Remember, it says the Spirit sent him into the desert. This priest of maybe the 3rd or 4th century, around that time, the father, we'll call him Father Pelagius. And then we get the heresy of Pelagianism. They taught that we really don't need God to get to heaven. Man can get to heaven by his own works, by his own abilities. So we don't need Christ. We don't need the church. So even though it is a great work to say that Jesus is Lord and Jesus is the Son of God, we do it, all of us here, say the name of our Lord and believe he's the Son of God, our Savior, the second person of the Blessed Trinity. And we believe everything he says. And we have no doubt about it. It's very, in fact, it's almost easy. And that's only because of the Holy Spirit dwelling in our souls from baptism and continued on, perfected through the other sacraments, especially receiving Holy Communion, the Holy Eucharist. Now, our Lord in this story, he told a story. It wasn't a real event about this parable in the gospel read today. Two men go up to the temple to pray. So imagine you see, let's say on a Saturday evening, you come to confession and you just happen to be in the back of the chapel. And you see two people come in, and one goes right up to the front and is kneeling there for the longest time and saying his or her prayers. And boy, do they look holy. You know, can kneel all that time, and it just looks so devout. And the other person is in the back with their head bowed, and maybe weeping because they've made big mistakes, maybe big sins, and they're so sorry. And the thing is, the proud person in the front is actually praising himself to God as people sometimes do, and see how great they are and how many good works they performed and all the things they have. And he's actually criticizing the poor publican in the back, looking down on him or her. So what a dramatic story, parable our Lord was telling this, relating this story to the Pharisees, to their faces, because that's what they were doing all the time. Walking through the markets and through the streets, looking for adulation from the people and thinking how great they are. Now, whose sins are forgiven when those two people come to confession? Because both of them, as in my story, if it was in this time, both of those people go to confession. Whose sins are forgiven most perfectly, and who has a firm amendment of life? Because that's what we say when we say our act of contrition. We promise, I firmly resolve with the help of thy grace to confess my sins, to do penance, and to amend my life. Change my life. That's the promise we say in the act of contrition. Even though we say it by rote and we just know it by heart, we have to mean it. And the Holy Spirit helps us to do that. And one thing, we may have mentioned this some years ago, but everyone here should think of himself as not the publican, but as the Pharisee. Because we can even be proud when we think we are humble. Do you see what I'm saying? People have been led astray because they think they're lowly and humble, and they actually take pride in that. So if we think of ourselves as wanting praise and thinking how great we are and looking for the praise of our neighbor, that's just what the Pharisees are doing. And we should strive to be like the publican, to always be sorry. That means always. All the dozens and hundreds of people we interact with every day. And the Holy Spirit will help us to do that. And that's why we have a beautiful prayer of the Come Holy Ghost. That's why it's in the front of the catechism, to inspire the reader to be docile to the Holy Spirit so they can understand the words and the doctrines in that book. That's why we put it in the back of the calendar so people can read it. That's why we put all those prayers in the back of the calendar. Because sometimes you can't find your prayer book, or you don't remember. There's something you really want to pray, that particular prayer, well, and you don't know where to find it. So that is, and this is the end of the sermon, an abbreviated, unfortunately, version. Now, we do have to tell you that there are a couple of important saints this week, apart from the Feast of the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary. This Wednesday could be called, in a way, along with sort of like a secondary Father's Day, because it is the Feast of St. Joachim this Wednesday, August 16th. He is the father of the Blessed Virgin Mary. Saturday, Feast of St. John Eudes, great promoter of, one of the earliest saints promoting the devotion to the Sacred Heart of Jesus and the Immaculate Heart of Mary. May God bless you.